Amen. Home of the soul. Beautiful home indeed. The home toward which we as God's people aspire to go. Appreciate Brother Clifford leading us in our singing this evening. Brother Clifton Davis reading our scripture lesson. And Brother Derek Quarles leading us in a well thought out, meaningful, and relevant prayer. Grateful for the presence of all of you this evening. It is always a wonderful blessing when God allows his people to come together in his name to worship him. We talked to you this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, principally verses 18 and 19, about the word precious. We emphasize that all of us are precious in the sight of God. We are of great value, highly priced. We are highly esteemed or cherished by God. We emphasize that our souls are precious, of great value. We emphasize that the blood of Christ is precious. His blood is pure, uncontaminated, incorruptible, undefiled, imbued with the power to wash away our sins, to redeem us, and to make us whole again. I want to continue this evening with the theme of things that are precious. I want to point out that there are other things we need to focus on that are likewise precious. So this sequel message, I just like to call Precious 2, Precious T-O-O, Precious Also. Not saying Precious T-W-O, we could call it that, but I'm thinking in terms of things that are also precious. The thing that we heard read about in Proverbs chapter 3 is a thing that should be sought by every person that populates the planet. It is something that should be sought by mothers and fathers, by uncles and aunts, by grandmothers and grandfathers, by parents and children, boys and girls. Every elder, every preacher, every Bible school teacher should strive to lay hold on and retain this particular thing that is of great value in the sight of God and should be of great value in the sight of men. It can preempt all kinds of troubles and sorrows in our lives. It can enrich our lives to an incalculable degree. It can make us better, richer, nobler, and more blessed if we can get our hands on, hold on to, retain this thing that is of such great value. It will enrich our relationships with each other. It will sweeten our marriages. It will cause to melt and fade away the barriers between brothers and sisters in Christ, and the barriers sometimes between parents and children, the barriers that exist between husbands and wives would dissolve and melt away in the presence of this thing that is of great value. What is it, Brother Jones, that is so precious? And its preciousness is, in a very meaningful and penetrating fashion, displayed and disclosed in the scripture lesson that was read a few minutes ago by Brother Davis, starting with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. I'm talking about wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Wisdom is here personified as a female, because in verse 15, the wise man says, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. That's more than a mouthful. She's more precious than rubies. And all of the things that you can desire are not to be compared to her. What do you desire? What things can you desire? Allow your imagination to run wild. Somebody says, I'd like to win the power lottery. I'd like to win $100 million. All the things you can desire are not to be compared unto wisdom. I'd like to live in a palatial mansion, rent-free for the rest of my days, having servants to wait on me, hand and foot. Is that what you desire? That cannot be compared to wisdom. I'd like to be able to, in my own private jet, fly across the continent and, yay, fly across the world. I was listening to Morgan Freeman not too long ago being interviewed by a news person, and he was talking about the movie that he starred in just not too long ago, portraying Nelson Mandela. And he owns a private jet, and he flew all the way to Africa in his own private jet. And so I believe it was Jay Leno, rather, who was interviewing him. And he said, how many propellers does your plane have? And of course, Jay was being funny. And Morgan said, it's a jet, Jay. It don't have no propellers. It's a jet. And it flies up to 700 or 800 miles an hour. Morgan has pretty good change. But what if you could fly wherever you want to fly across the globe? Well, as valuable as that might be, as much as you might prize that wonderful privilege, as estimated by some, that is not to be compared to wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom means nothing to you but that which is good. She's going to enrich your life. She's going to bless your life. She's going to make things so much better for you. If you can just gain a hold of wisdom, priceless, precious wisdom, and never let her go. Anybody got a wife like that? Anybody? You've laid hold on her, and she means so much to you. She's so valuable. She adds so much to your life. She enriches your life to such a degree that you say, baby, I'm not going to ever let you go. Brother Ben Foster said that he told his wife, said, baby, you're not going to ever leave me. He said, I love you too much, and I'm not going to let you go. He said, if you go and try to leave me, I'm going with you. That's the way you need to feel about wisdom. Once you get a hold of her, don't let her go. Cling to her like a child clinging to his mama on the first day of school. Try your best to hold on to her for dear life. Why? Because of her great value, because of her preciousness. Far more valuable than silver and gold. All of the things that are highly prized by men and that can be desired by men is not to be compared to her. Wisdom, precious. No wonder Proverbs 4, the next chapter, and verse 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Speaking of wisdom, forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. See, she's still personified as a wonderful, refined, enriching, and blessed woman. Forsake her not. 4 and verse 6, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And then he says in verse number 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. I'm just extolling wisdom as a thing to be highly prized, sought after, gotten a hold of, and held on to tenaciously. It's precious. Oh, if our young people could get it, if they could heed it, they could live by it, what a wonderful world it would be. But not only is wisdom precious, but he who epitomizes wisdom is precious. He whose blood we spoke of this morning is precious. And I'm speaking of Jesus Christ, our Lord. According to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, speaking of Christ, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. This is speaking about Jesus Christ, our Lord. What does he mean to you? What value does he have to you? What do you feel about him? What do you believe about him? How much do you appreciate him? How much do you love him? How much do you value Jesus? Is he precious to you? Or do you value yourself more? Do you value your pleasures more? Do you value having your way more than you value Jesus? Do you value your job more than you value Jesus? Do you value your family more than you value Jesus? Do you value material things more than you value Jesus? How much does Jesus mean to you? Is he precious to you? Is he of great value? Is he highly esteemed? Is he cherished by you? How precious is Jesus to you? I trust he's precious. When the Lord created the heaven and the earth, and we focus principally on the earth, but the entire creation has great value, especially as insofar as the benefits of creation offer to man. We are dependent upon this terrestrial ball that we call earth. You know, everything that we have and everything that sustains us basically comes from the earth. Of course, I know there are benefits from the sun. Without the sun, we could have no food. But without the soil of the earth, we could have no food either. But in a beautiful and balanced way, through the process of photosynthesis operating in nature, in plants, we have the food that we need. Isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful? When I pick up a little seed, whether it's a pinto bean seed or a turnip green seed or a tomato seed or an apple seed or an orange seed, those are precious to me. If it's a corn seed or a watermelon seed, it's precious to me because it is productive of life-sustaining fruit and food. And God made all of that possible. The dawn creation. God howls within the bosom of the earth. And men claim that the earth is billions of years old. I don't believe it none. You see, when God made Adam, he was full grown. When God made the earth, it was full grown. It might have appeared that processes had been in motion for millions or billions of years, but it was not so. God made the earth complete, housed within its bosom all kinds of precious metals and precious stones and proper minerals for the growing of food, for the sustaining of man. Oh, how precious and powerful is the Lord our God. In Deuteronomy 33, verses 13 through 16, the record reads, "And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his hand, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that couches beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, for the precious things put forth by the moon, for the chief things of the ancient mountains, for the precious things of the lasting hill. And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelleth in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren." James, in a corroborating passage, in James 5 and verse 7, says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rains. And I'm talking about the precious provisions that have been made available to us by the God of glory. Those are things that we can so easily take for granted, but they should be things that are of great value and highly priced in our minds, things that are highly esteemed and cherished. Just as God has provided for the physical well-being of man, has provided on the earth and in our environment everything that we need to sustain our physical lives, He's also provided for every spiritual blessing you can imagine. He's provided for the salvation of our souls. How precious, how valuable are the rich and exhaustless resources that are made available to us by God. When you consider the vastness of the universe and consider the marvelous complexity of the world in which we live and the earth on which we live and all of the blessings that come from it, how can you be thankless? How can you be ungrateful? How can you exemplify a spirit of pride and haughtiness? How can you demonstrate a spirit of ingratitude in view of all of the physical blessings that God has made available? And how can you be so ungrateful in view of the spiritual blessings that God has made available to all of us? And both blessings are only resident in Jesus. And if you're to have access to them, you have to be in Him. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby giveth unto us exceeding great and precious promises. See, God promises are great and they are precious. And this has to do with our receiving the divine nature when we are born again into the family of God. But there are a number of precious promises that God gives to us that we should value and that we should cherish, that we should highly esteem because of that great value. Exceeding great and precious promises. How much do the promises of God mean to you? You know, one of the promises that I cling to and I rejoice in is the promise of Romans 8:28. You might get tired of me quoting it. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. That's precious to me. Because I know I can pillow my head and sleep at night and not worry about whatever might happen. Because I'm living under the providential protection plan of God. You know, another promise that's all precious to me is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Does that mean anything to you? Does that have any value for you? Is that precious? And I can go on and on with promises that are made, but another one, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. Isn't that a wonderful and precious promise?
Yes, yes.
I just want to point out this evening that there are things too numerous for me to try to go over this evening that are precious too, that are also precious.
more precious every time I hear it. What I think is that the law considered me valuable enough, precious enough, that he was willing to die for me. Poor fella from Marigold, Mississippi. You know, that makes me rejoice. That he died for me, but he also died for you because he values you. He loves you. Even when you were in your sins, he loved you. Sacrificed his life on the cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day, making our salvation possible. And that salvation is mighty precious to me. Hallelujah. You can have it as well. Through obedience to the gospel, believing the good news, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord grants you salvation. The Lord promises you eternal life. Will you accept it? You're here, you're already a child of God, but you've fallen into the unfortunate and unenviable state of unfaithfulness and need to be restored. Through repentance, confession, and prayer, it can be done. You can regain your precious fellowship with God. If you're here, value yourself, value your soul, value the word of God, value your salvation. Why not be obedient to that? Simply trust and obey as we together stand.
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, and in trust within demand, and in who is the voice I hear, sweetly the tones are falling. The door for me.